Welcome to In the Classroom, episode number 28. Today is October 24th, 2018, and in this episode, I address the question, how does one's teacher workflow affect teacher/learner engagement? In the Classroom with Benjamin Stewart, making teaching and learning more transparent, is a podcast for educators, instructional designers, administrators, trainers, or anyone who is interested in topics related to curriculum, assessment, instruction, and educational technologies. The goal is to provoke new ideas, perspectives, and context around teaching, learning, and educational leadership. Today I want to talk about this idea of lean teaching, how we can become more effective, efficient, and engaging in our own teaching practice, not only in the day-to-day classroom experience, but also in the planning stages, also afterwards as we reflect on our own practice. And in terms of how we can improve, are we making the most out of every minute of every day? And I know for me personally, the answer would be no, I'm not. There are times where I feel like I'm wasting time. In fact, I am wasting time. I reflect back on my day and think, wow, I could have done something differently and try to be a little bit more efficient in certain aspects of my teaching, whether it's in class or planning. So today I want to look and talk about this idea of lean teaching. There was a book written in 1996 called Lean Thinking, Banish Waste and Create Wealth in Your Corporation. This book by Womack and Jones, I've included the link here in the show notes, check that out, is a really interesting book. There have been newer books out on the market that have been published that link this idea of lean principles in education, so I would definitely check those out. This book that I'm referring to here is primarily related to business, but I think there are a lot of principles that can be transferred to the processes that we have commonly see in formal education. The one principle I want to talk about today is really this idea of value, and this goes back to the idea of, are we efficient? Are we effective? Are we engaging? Are we adding value? Is there any waste that we can take out of our day-to-day processes that allow us to get the most out of each day that we go to work? So I want to talk about an experience this semester that I'm having with some of the educational tools, the technologies that I'm using, but think of it in terms of workflow, because I think one of the things that helps me as a teacher is every semester I will reevaluate and think, are the technologies that I'm using, are the processes that I'm following in terms of providing feedback to learners, am I getting the most out of it? Am I being as accessible as possible? Am I giving them timely feedback? But also, am I planning and working in a way that I'm not wasting time? So this semester, I decided to use a series of tools, and almost all the tools that I want to share with you today begin with the word Google. So I want to talk briefly about each one of these, not so much to dive deeply into all aspects of each of these tools, but really just to provide an overview of how and why I'm using some of these tools this semester and for what purpose. It's important to mention at this point that the students that I have that I want to discuss with you today are in a propedeutic year. I teach in a four-year bachelor's degree program in English language teaching. So these students are coming into our program wanting to be English teachers, and I'm teaching this semester in a propedeutic year, which is a series of remedial courses that they take in listening and speaking, reading, writing, and learning strategies in order to improve their level of English. So the course that I'm teaching this semester, academic writing, basically is set to help them develop a paragraph and looking at how to write with a unified message that they can write coherently and cohesively. And so most of my students are at an A2 level according to the Common European Framework. So the first tool I want to mention today is Google Classroom. And Google Classroom has been really useful, I think, in helping me with my own planning and implementation of each of the activities that I plan for each week. Each week, I set an essential question, some sort of deep thinking, critical thinking type of question that they consider from Monday through Friday. We do have classes every day, so we meet 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday. So we'll revisit the same essential question each week. And so the Google Classroom is set up, the coursework is set up by week. And so each week I'll also post this essential question in Google Classroom so that they have their they have that information there. And I will upload different assignments as necessary in the coursework section. Google Classroom also has a streaming section, which is kind of a news feed where students and teachers can interact. And this is a nice feature if I want to make announcements. If I want to have different activities in class and I want them to maybe answer an essential question or some sort of have some sort of open dialogue in class in real time, that can happen. We're fortunate enough at the university where we work, students have access to the internet. And so students typically will bring their cell phones every day to class. They use their cell phones all day in class pretty much, depending on the type of activity that we do. We're also lucky enough to have a computer and a large screen TV on one end of the room. On the other end, we'll have a board. So we can use that as other forms of input for the students. So they'll have not only their cell phone, they'll have the big screen TV with the computer and the internet available to them so we can look at something online, and I can also make notes on the board. So Google Classroom's been really useful in that regard in terms of really organizing our ideas as a class and our activities and really taking each lesson and having it be enabling, helping them to progress throughout the week in terms of brainstorming and organizing their ideas and maybe an outline or a schematic map, mind map, and onto the development of their first draft and subsequent drafts, finally into their final draft. Now, the second tool I want to talk about is Google Docs. And Google Classroom and Google Docs work really well together because as you create an assignment in Google Classroom, it also creates a document in your Google Drive. So depending on the type of assignment, for example, if I create one document, if I have an assignment in Google Classroom where I want all my students to edit the same document, that will create a document in their own Google Drive under the shared with me option or folder where they can access that same document. This is really nice when I want them to work together in groups, and as a whole group we want to create one product. We can all see in real time all of this activity in class, for example, when they're making edits, working in teams, and I can provide timely feedback in that moment as they're working. Of course, this also helps outside of class when they're working on their own, and I can go in periodically and look at their progress and leave comments as necessary. Another type of assignment in Google Docs is having a document for each student. So this is nice when more individualized work is required, and I can very easily in Google Classroom make one assignment, and then it will automatically open up. In this case, I've got 30 students and divided into two different groups. It will create 32, 33 documents, one for each student, in an instance. I don't have to go into Google Docs and Google Drive and create and copy and paste or copy and different files for the students. It's all automatic. It's all integrated. So Google Classroom pushes that information and creates those documents instantaneously. And so there's really good integration between those two tools. Google Docs is great, obviously, for providing feedback to the students. So a lot of the engagement that we have in this class is me leaving comments in Google Docs, using a coding system for their writing errors, and also having them provide peer feedback amongst themselves. So they can go in and share documents with their writing partners, and they can leave comments back and forth as well in Google Docs. This could also be extended publicly. We don't do this currently, but depending on the situation, there is also a possibility of having students publish their documents out to those outside of the class. So that's also a possibility. But Google Docs is a great tool for this type of engagement. And I feel that it really helps me work more effectively and efficiently, especially in terms of feedback and assessment of student outcomes. You're listening to In the Classroom with Benjamin Stewart, where each episode poses a through-line question or problem intended to generate dialogue around current issues that affect educational stakeholders who are concerned with improving learning outcomes. If you have anything to say about today's topic, send your comments and questions to www.benjaminlstewart.org. The third tool I want to talk about is a Google Gradebook. And Google Gradebook is the only tool that I'm sharing today that is not free. I think it costs around $30 or $40, but it's well worth it in my view, because I can take Google Classroom. Actually, if I go into Google Gradebook, I can merge all the information, all the assignments that I set up in Google Classroom, and it will populate automatically into a Google Sheet. And then from there, I can send an email to all my students. I can generate reports, classroom gradebook reports that I can easily see and evaluate the whole class very easily. So it's not quite as nice as some of the third-party apps that you might find for your cell phone, but it really does work well in integrating with Google Classroom, and it does what it needs to do. It sends information to the students, which is the main thing, and it allows me to see at a glance the students' grades. And you want to have tools that make that information available in a timely fashion. So for me, I feel I'm more effective and efficient when I can provide that information to the students, and they are constantly worried about their grades. So having that tool available just so that they know at a moment's notice what grades that they have is really, I think, important. The next tool I want to talk about is Google Photos. This semester, this was the first semester that I used Google Photos, because I found myself, some of the students would a lot of times take pictures of what I wrote on the board after class each day. So what I decided is to create a classroom photo album so that students could access the images. I would take a picture after, in fact, I do every day after. When I finish a class, I'll take a picture of the board work and I'll upload it to our shared classroom photo album so that all students can access this photo album. Now, depending on the type of phone that they have, I know some students don't have a lot of space on their phone, so they will not be able to install the Google Photos app where they could view these same images on their phone. Either way, though, they have access to this, whether it's with their phone or maybe another computer afterwards, but they have access to these images. Some students still, even though we are using Google Photos, will take pictures themselves of the board work after a class, which is fine. It's really just a matter of having students choose what works for them. If they would rather have their images on their own phone, that's fine. But the whole point of using these different tools is to help students find their own way in how they interact with the content for the course, and helping them be as efficient and effective and engaging as possible, and trying to give them some agency, giving them some opportunities and choices and flexibility in how they interact with the content and how they interact with each other. The last tool I want to talk about is the ePortfolio, and this is to have students or give students the opportunity to take their finished product after they've worked on it in Google Docs, they've received feedback from me, maybe they've received feedback from their classmates, that they now have a place online, an online space where they can publish their work, and this ePortfolio allows that to happen. And we are basically giving students many options, but most students end up choosing Wix, Wix.com. But the idea is that we want students to leave the BA with a full collection of different types of work that demonstrates their knowledge, their understandings, and their values. So for the participatory call of action, I want to just throw out this idea, the suggestion of trying to find ways to share your successes and challenges with your current workflow. Is it working for you now, what you're doing, with regard to the tools that you're using in terms of your lesson planning, how you implement your class, how you provide feedback to your students, how you reflect back on your own challenges and successes. Try to extend that to your own personal learning network, whether it's with colleagues that you work with on a day-to-day basis, maybe it's colleagues that you connect with online. Reach out to your personal learning network, share those successes, and certainly I'm interested in how your current workflow is working for you or maybe is not working for you. Thanks for listening to In the Classroom with Benjamin Stewart. If you want to be part of the broadcast or just would like to leave feedback about the show, leave me a message at www.benjaminlstewart.org. In the Classroom, encouraging educators to think and do out loud.